very pleased to be joined by, and we rarely get to say this, a Juilliard-trained, well, I want to say broadcaster, or Kramer said dermatologist on Seinfeld. He was a Juilliard-trained dermatologist.
Uh-huh.
You are truly a Juilliard-trained musician. Jason Fitz, contributor to Golic and Wingo, ESPN. Good to see you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, and people ask, how do you get to ESPN? I'm like, you just, you know, play the violin your whole life, and somehow it'll get you there. It's been an interesting ride to get to where I am for a lot of people, but been a crazy one. And so, you know, and now we just launched a week and a half ago. We launched First Take Your Take from 1 to 3. So I get the opportunity to actually sleep in now and host a show that's on ESPN every afternoon with my name on it. So really proud of the journey and where it keeps going.
It's fantastic. Does a great job. Jason Fitz, like you said, hosts the First Take, Your Take, 1 to 3 daily. And what's interesting, Fitz, I pulled up your Twitter profile that hasn't been updated yet. You're going to have to get in there, get the first and last, get the Golic and Wingo off.
First and last and Golic and Wingo in there.
You're going to have to change that. Well, I mean, listen,
you're
a big time now. So a couple weeks in, how do we feel like the show's going? I mean, the rhythm of it, you know, it's a little bit of a newer concept. You happy with the direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think here's what we're doing. We're taking some of the best moments of First Take that Stephen A. and Max had, some of their best debates. We replay a little of it to get people caught up in case they didn't see it. And then we take that conversation and we move it. So we'll have experts come on and give their opinion, but they do it in quick blasts. So instead of big 10, 12-minute interviews, we're doing 3-4-minute chunks like you see on TV. And then the most important part is that we make it super interactive. So we throw out call to action every single day, that a topic from First Take that then we let everybody debate with us. So the way I keep telling people is, instead of yelling at your TV during First Take, you get to yell at me for 2 hours in the afternoon instead. So no yelling at Stephen A. Yell at me.
You know what? And we get that all the time, right? It's part of the business. You grow another layer of skin. You give your opinion. But you guys seem to have maybe found a way to zero in when you design the show. I mean, do they come to you and say, are you involved in this design and how you feel as a host?
Not particularly with the design, in fairness. Stephen A. used to have that slot with the Stephen A. Smith Show, and so they looked at it and said, where's our opportunity here, right? Mm-hmm. So for everybody that was mega fans, and there were a lot of them, of the Stephen A. Smith Show, how do you keep people engaged in what Stephen A. was doing? Now, Stephen A. and I are very different in some way stylistically. He took a lot of calls, but I love energy and pace and excitement. So my thing was, how could we take calls the same way Stephen A.'s been doing, but do it in more of a fast-paced, high-energy, you know, let's get people in, get them right to the argument and move them along. So I think there's a little bit of this Stephen A. flavor, a little bit of my influence all came in for a concept that I knew they wanted executed. I feel like I've still brought some of my personality.
Have you found that the debate part of it is, you have to be careful? Does it get to overkill where one guy takes one side, somebody takes another, you draw a line in the middle for the listener, and then here you go? That's like the old format. And I'm wondering, from your style, are you the kind of person that wants to have a hard opinion on everything, or is it more developing conversations about it?
I want to push people to think of different answers when we're talking to callers. You know, it's easy to say the other day, which athlete should be the highest paid athlete in all the sports? That was a small moment in First Take. We turned it into 2 hours of people coming in with raging debates on Twitter and calls. But the funny thing is, everybody calls for LeBron. So my job in that chair is to sit back and say, okay, why LeBron? And then if you're going to apply that logic, who else does it apply to? So, you know, because I see things so differently sometimes, I looked at it like, who's bringing the most value added to a franchise or to a sport? Because you can make the argument that no LeBron kills the NBA, but you could also make the argument no Giannis would make the Bucks completely irrelevant. So who has more value? I don't know. But then what about Tiger? What about Serena? So my job is to sit there and say, hey, let's not think of the one answer. Let's think of 15 answers, and that way we can keep the debate going.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking to Jason Fitz, host of My Take, Your Take. First Take. Wait.
First Take, Your Take.
First Take, Your Take. Apologize for that, sir.
I'll give you my take.
Overtime will be the My Take, right?
And then My Take afterwards. 1-3 on ESPN. Doing a great job with that. And so yesterday I run into Fitz, Rothman.
Yeah.
Outside. Haven't seen him. You know, we host Golic and Wingo from time to time when I'd fill in. Awesome guy. And I'm talking to Cam Hayward, defensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the larger humans you're going to find.
He's a big boy. He's a very big boy.
Cam's hands are massive.
Yeah.
Fitzy does not have the largest hands. Oh. And I was like, I want to see you put – because Cam's hands feel big to me, which I'm like, that's probably how my hands feel to Fitz. So I want to, like, jump over me and try to get, like, one of the largest human hands I've had to one of the smaller ones in there. And it was pretty remarkable watching these guys kind of – I would use the term locking grips, but it was more like – you know, put your tiny hand in mine, George Michael. It's like it was the careless whisper.
By the way, you had me at hello with the George Michael reference. Love it. I've found that some of the biggest guys, hand-wise, have the gentlest handshakes with me, particularly because they all think I'm a porcelain doll. Like, I get it. Like, Damian Woody has huge hands, right? When Woody goes to shake my hands, it is the softest. Like, he doesn't even grip. I'm sitting there. I'm like, what's wrong? And he'll tell you, I feel like I'm going to break you if I squeeze at all. It's fair. I do have tiny when your hands are so small that violin teachers have to figure out alternate strategies, like, that shows you how tiny my hands are. I can't palm a kid's basketball.
So, coming, you got the game coming up now.
Yes.
And you're a sports fan. You're a Raiders fan.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs are in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see them twice here against your squad. How are we feeling about this game?
Well, look, if the 49ers go out and kill them and win the Super Bowl, then as a fan of the Raiders, I can sit back and say, hey, there's no shame in the fact that the Chiefs are the best team in the division. They're the best team in all of football. Deal with it. Like, I can have that moment. I don't think that's going to be the case in this game, though. I mean, I don't know why suddenly we just no longer value defense. And I talked to a couple of coaches around here yesterday as we were walking through Media Row. And it's interesting because we spend so much time talking about the edge rushers for San Francisco, we forget to talk about the height specifically of the mm-hmm. interior defensive line. So you've got height that's going to force Mahomes to have to take an extra second to find windows to throw the ball. So I think that's going to present a little bit of a challenge. On the other side, if you look back at what they did against the Titans, the Chiefs defense, they put everybody in the box. And Tannehill wasn't able to make a single throw that he needed to make. If they take that same strategy to stop the 49ers from running the football, who's going to stop George Kittle? And without that answer, like I think we are undervaluing the ability of the 49ers defense to at least slow down Mahomes. And if they can do that, I do think that they can put up enough points. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
And so Tyrann Mathieu, I think, can stay with George Kittle. The problem that I have is Tyrann Mathieu is not a large man. George Kittle is a very large man, and I don't know if they get to the catch point if he's going to be able to do enough. He might be there, but just being there might be like a fly on an elephant at that point in time, and he might not be able to do anything. So George Kittle, I think, is my X factor in that game for that San Francisco offense and what he's going to be able to do.
Well, and come on, the catchphrase we all hear people smarter than me talk about is eye discipline, right? So
yeah.
When you're sitting there and you're talking about it from the secondary's position and you're looking at it saying we're desperately focused on not letting the 49ers control the clock and control the line of scrimmage, we're desperately focused on not letting him run, you get one extra inch to Kittle, that's enough to just kill you. So I feel like that's the mismatch. I'm with you. I think it's the X factor. It's the, like, I don't think Jimmy G even has to play particularly incredibly. Mm-hmm. The 49ers can win this
game. As long as it's not desperately wanting and that they're better than Ezra, I think everything's going to be good.
So your sports back, I mean, you're a musician. You had a music background. Where'd the sports background come from?
Well, so when I was a little kid, I started playing the violin when I was 4. By the time I was 8, I practiced 8 hours a day. And my dad's rule was you're not going to do that on Sunday because I want to watch the Raiders play and I don't want to listen to that trash while I watch the Raiders game.
So awesome.
So my dad would get a dozen donuts. We'd sit down. We'd watch the Raiders game. As I got older, I went to a master class that a famous violinist at the time was teaching, and he talked about how he was a big sports junkie, and he talked about how he would put games on mute, and he would suddenly, like, he'd practice his scales, his normalcy to come in and say, hey, if I can watch the up and down of a game while I practice, then I can, you know, I know I can level through whatever I focus on. So for me, sports became a release from the time I was a little kid, and then it became part of my daily regimen, my daily life. So our busiest year on the road when I was with the band Perry, we were out 300 days, and I came home to my wife, and I said, hey, I'm good at what I do. I'm honored to do it. I don't like doing it. I don't love it. And she said, if I asked 100 of your friends what you really love, what's the answer? I said, sports. So she said, find a way to talk about sports. So I sat in my car because I felt like an idiot, and I did my first podcast,
yeah.
And I put it up on Facebook for my friends to listen to, and it went over really well. So I ripped it apart. I started networking, and I started just working my butt off, consuming, listening, learning, and trying to rise. And that's all I've done since then. So, you know, it's been that was basically 6 years ago, and now I'm sitting with a show on ESPN. It's been an incredible journey.
So the credit we can give to the beautiful Sunny Fitz, who's
Sunny Fitz,
which I just saw her name tag, which the real name is Lisa. So I saw that on there.
Yeah.
First name Lisa, goes by Sunny. Fantastic.
Yeah. She gets all the credit in the world.
She should.
The other side of it is, I've said this, a lot of people will question how I got in the door. Nobody will question how I stayed there. I've done everything I can to work, to learn, to listen, and to be the best that I can be at what I do.
There can't be anyone listening right now back home who wants to get into sports that wasn't just inspired by your story. And it's a great one, and it shows perseverance and drive and separating yourself and – look where you are now. We wish you a lot of luck on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I genuinely appreciate it. And I will say this. When ESPN offered me my first show, I could be fired after one episode. I quit the band that was in the middle of a very successful run and said, if you're going to ask me to bank on myself, I will always bet on myself.
All so in.
I tell everybody that, man. Bet on yourself recklessly.
What's the score of the game on Sunday? I know you like Frisco.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco, let's say 35-31.